Today is lesson four in our, I made a slide for Lila in case she was here. So today is our fourth lesson in the God, Mammon, Finance class. And today is a really special one. We're going to be showing you a video. It's a video of my dad from, how many years ago? How old is this video? 17 years ago? I just get the biggest kick out of watching this video. It just makes me laugh. I love it. Really, really great stuff. And I don't want to embarrass my dad. Maybe I do a little bit. But they sold, I think, 25,000 copies of this DVD. So best-selling TV star Don Tucker here. Elder Don Tucker now, right? Yeah, that's right. So we're going to show you that video in just a second. Before we do that, Dad had just a couple of things he wanted to say. There are blanks in your workbook. We will fill those out after the video is done. So I encourage you, while we watch this video, just pay attention to it. Just kind of try to take it in. And then when it's over, it's about, 25 minutes long? Yep. Video is 25 minutes long. After it's over, we'll review some of the numbers that are in the video. So don't panic to try to get all the numbers down. We'll review that once the video is over. My dad had a couple comments he wanted to do. Before he did that, I just had one little rant I wanted to go on first. I'm kidding. All right.
Saw the panic in my eye. I just wanted to do a quick little intro. You are allowed to laugh when my picture comes up, so that's okay. Back in the day, I actually came up with this almost 35 years ago, and it was after doing a class, and I can explain a little of that, so I don't want to go too deep into it, but a lot of the older folks might remember Larry Burkett. He was the original Dave Ramsey, so I kind of followed a lot of his stuff, and then Dave Ramsey since, and so you'll see some similar thing, but through all those years, the first part of this I've never seen anybody else do or explain. So that I'm still kind of excited about that. Once I retire, I think maybe I ought to publish a book and try to sell more than 25,000. Because to me, it's kind of like going back through your finances. This kind of explains, I think, and I hope, why it's so hard to get out of debt. And, you know, everybody said it's easy to get into, but hard to get out of. And you'll hear that phrase again, because you hear it all the time. And so I've got an explanation for that, so a little teaser for that. And so I just hope, sit back and enjoy this. We'll have an open book test afterwards, which is actually just an open book review, because it is so important, I think, to understand. I've already had some great comments about people going back through their finances for the last 2 or 3 months and what they found and how they've decided to change stuff. As I said, just by looking at where it's been going. So I hope you're doing that. We do have a little more homework for you on debt this week at the end of the class, so you can look forward to that. But, you know, just as the song said, it is so one of the areas that's hard to trust and obey God in is finances. And yet there isn't anything kind of like that that can hold us such prisoners as debt does. And that's why it's just such a burden on my heart to help people get out of debt. So with that, you can roll them.
I was asked to give some comments at the opening of this video, and I began to think of Don Tucker, the CFO, who's responsible for a budget that exceeds tens of millions of dollars a year. But Don's always been a little different than the financial people. You see, he doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. And his passion is not being a CFO. His passion is helping people to help themselves in their daily financial walk. Don spent thousands of hours and has done hundreds of seminars educating people on how to get control of their lives financially. I can tell you that I stand here today financially sound because of information that Don gave me 10 years ago. So it is with a great deal of pride and a great deal of personal experience that I introduce to you Don Tucker.
Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Romans 13, 8. Have you ever wondered why God's Word warns us to stay out of debt? Hi, I'm Don Tucker. I am currently and have been for the last 18 years the Chief Financial Officer and the Head of the Tax Department at Worldwide Group. I've been a certified public accountant for 22 years and in the profession for 25 years. In all those years, there's one thing I've noticed is that it's real easy for people to get into debt and very difficult for them to get out. What I want to share with you now is a concept I call the dynamics of debt. This concept first occurred to me almost 20 years ago as I was preparing for an adult Sunday school class on your money and your marriage. As I was going through the material, suddenly a light bulb went on as to why it is so easy for people to get into debt and so difficult for them to get out. To show you this, I'd like to go through a little example with you. Assume you have a lifestyle in which you overspend by $20 each and every week. I'll give you 2 weeks off, so it's only $1,000 per year. And let's assume you do that for 3 years. So at the end of that 3-year period, you're now in debt $3,000. At that point, you decide to stop and to pay off your debt. I've given you 3 years to get into debt. I'll give you 3 years to get out of debt. Here's what you need to do. First, you need to either stop the $20 per week overspending or earn enough more to cover that $20 per week overspending. For a year, that's $1,000. Next, you need to pay the interest. Assuming a 15% interest rate, you need to either reduce your lifestyle expenditures or earn enough more to pay the interest. That's an additional $450. Finally, you need to pay on the principal. Assume you reduce the balance by 1/3 each year, again, you either need to reduce your lifestyle expenditures or earn enough more to pay the principal. Again, that's $1,000. So for the first year, you need a total of $2,450 just to pay off 1/3 of the debt that took you 3 years to rack up. However, this is net after-tax money, which means the taxes must be paid first. So let's look at the tax considerations of a wage earner. Let's assume a low tax bracket of 15%. Remember, the FICA and Medicare is 7.65%, and we'll ignore the state taxes for now. So your total tax rate is 22.65%. That means you have to have an increase of $3,167 this year just to have a net of $2,450, which enables you to pay the interest of $450, stop the spending of $1,000, and pay the first 1/3 of the principal of $1,000. If that's a raise, it's 10% of a $32,000 salary. But how many of us really get 10% raises? If it's a cost of living raise, it's 4% of a $79,000 salary. However, if your cost of living has gone up by 4%, that means nothing is left. By now, you're starting to get the idea of why it's so hard to get out of debt. But let's take this even a step further. Let's look at the tax considerations if you're self-employed. Will your net increase cover this $2,450? Let's assume a tax bracket of 30%. Medicare rate of 2.9%, because as you'll see, you'll be over the FICA limit. Average state tax of 8% for a total tax rate of 40.9%. This means you need an increase of $4,146 just to net the $2,450 to pay the $1,000 of principal, the $450 of interest, and stop the overspending of $1,000. So if your increase exceeds the cost of living by 5%, you would currently need to be making $82,910. Now you've seen by this very simple, and I think very believable example, how easy it is to get into $3,000 of debt. I saw some of the guys nudging their wives out there when we were talking about the $20 a week overspending. But let's face it, guys, we can spend that much in a good weekend just buying some of our toys, can't we? And yet, $3,000 takes us 3 years to get into. Look how hard it is to even get started the first year in paying it off. But let's look at what society offers us as solutions. First and foremost, more debt, easy terms, overdraft protection, tap your home equity, have another credit card coming in the mail every week. And what happens at the end result of all this? Bankruptcy. Obviously, society solutions don't work. But what are some real solutions? Well, you might get an inheritance or other windfall, but that's highly unlikely. You could do the most difficult thing and decrease your lifestyle. You could increase your income while keeping your lifestyle constant. But as you've seen, that is still very difficult to get out of debt. Finally, there is proper planning. And that's where I want to spend the rest of our time. And I promise I'll only use the B word once. That's budget. So let's look at the what, the why, and the how. First, what is debt? It's any money owed to anyone for anything. Borrowing is using something that belongs to someone else. Some examples are your home mortgage, auto loan, student loans, credit cards. It can also include contractual agreements for payments, such as auto leases, your home or apartment rent, even your taxes. Second, why get out of debt? You might hear, isn't some debt good? They're usually talking about leverage. That's the art of using other people's money to make you money. For a simplified example, assume you put $2,000 down on a $100,000 rental house. The rents are going to equal the payments, and you're going to sell that house 5 years later for $110,000. So at that time, you pay off your mortgage, $100,000 minus the two is $98,000, leaving you $12,000 on the investment of $2,000. That's six times what you started with in only 5 years. But leverage is fraught with risk, which is another way to say gambling. You don't know what the market might be like in 5 years. You don't know if that house will be vacant for any length of time. You don't know if the renters might cause a lot of damage. Leverage might be just another way to get further into debt. Next, debt causes bad things. First, servitude. Let's look at Proverbs 22:7. And the borrower is a servant to the lender. In other words, when you owe somebody money, it's like you're working for them. Second is stress. You worry about your payment. Can you make it? Do I have the money to get it? Where is it going to come from? How do I do it? When do I do it? Third is sameness. Debt tends to trap you into a never-ending cycle of more debt. And as you've seen, it's very hard to get out of. Fourth is strife. It can bring separation between you and your spouse, you and your parents, you and whoever you might owe money to. And finally, as we've already looked at, it can cause bankruptcy. Again, let's look to God's word for some wisdom. Proverbs 22, verses 26 through 27. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those that guarantees debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. The next why we should get out of debt involves stewardship. We should be responsible for those assets that have been entrusted to us. It involves managing your finances, which means we should control them. Don't let the finances control you. Psalm 37:21 tells us, "The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous give generously." Who amongst us wouldn't much rather be a giver than a debtor? Stewardship also involves training your children or teaching others. Your actions, your example, will speak much louder than your words. For example, take my son Joshua. Ever since he was little, we'd go on trips. He'd have a little pocket money to spend on mementos to bring back. Yet when we were there, he wasn't able to part with that cash. Then when we got home, he'd wish he'd have bought it. My wife and I joke, we call it non-buyer's remorse. And yet when we're at church and a missionary would come through and they'd talk about their trials and tribulations out in the field, that same boy would empty out his wallet into the offering plate. Now that son is now 20 years old. This spring he'll graduate with honors with a business degree from Seattle Pacific University. He is already planning on how he's going to buy his first car with cash. And he'd even like to try to figure out how he can buy his first house debt-free. For the final word on stewardship, we again need to look no further than at God's word. For in Matthew 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot
serve both God and money.
So now, let me show you how to be master over your money and not have your money be master over you. The first step is to make a decision and commit to it. Every financial decision you make is ultimately a priority decision. You must make getting out of debt a priority. There is no such thing as an independent financial decision. Each choice you make will influence every future financial choice that you make. And it involves delayed gratification, which simply means giving up today's desires in order to meet future needs or desires. Once again, we can just go to God's Word to see some great examples. In Proverbs 6, it talks of the ant that lays up in the harvest and stores his goods for the summer. Or even to Genesis and the story of Joseph, where he convinces the ruler to save up grain for 7 years so that they have plenty left during the famine of the next 7 years. The next step is to set your goals. These goals need to be specifically measurable and attainable objectives. These goals will give you direction, motivation, and hope. Next, communicate. Share these goals with someone, but remember to be positive and be proactive. The past is past. Can't do anything about that. We're on a new road to step forward. And be accountable. Pick that person, whether it's your spouse, your upline, or a relative, and talk to them about your goals and how you're doing. Now it's time to get down to work. The first thing you need to do is to recap your spending. You need to do this for at least the last 3 months, but it's even better if you go back and do the entire year. All you need to do is create a simple spreadsheet, much like the one shown. You have different categories, such as tithe and contributions, house payment, utilities, groceries, or dining out. As you go through your own spending patterns, you'll see different categories to create. And while you're going through this, look for areas to conserve. This is where I use the budget word. If you want to go from this into a budget, now is a good time. But believe me, it's not necessary. You can still get out of debt with where you're at. But as you go through your spending, look for areas where you might be able to redirect some of your resources towards paying off debt. It has been my experience when working with people that just this step alone, they can identify almost 10% of their income that they can redirect. After you're done recapping your spending, the next thing you do is list all your debts. You'll need to write down the creditor, the balance owing, the interest rate, your monthly payment, and how many months of payment left. In the example shown, there are 6 creditors listed. As you can see, this person owes a total of $140,074.11. His monthly payments total $1,470.78. If he sticks strictly to the term, it would take him 27 years before he was out of debt. Now let's begin our plan with the goal of getting out of debt quick. The first thing to do is attack the smallest balance. We will be using money identified during your spending recap. So remember, you're now going to buy and spend wisely. Let me give you a few quick examples of what I mean by spending wisely. I would hazard a guess as you went through your spending recap, you saw that dining out was pretty expensive, especially when compared to eating at home. But even if you eat out, there's a couple things you can do. For example, I've done this with my kids, do it with yours. We have one order a small fry and another a medium fry. We dump them onto napkins on the table. See if you can tell which pile is larger. Same thing with the pop. It's all in the packaging, yet they try to get us to supersize these things. Better yet, drink water. Let's move on to cars. How many of us have bought a new car just because our old one needed tires? I have a 79 Corvette that I'm very proud of. I like to keep it looking good, running good. I've replaced the rear end, I've replaced the interior, I've had many tune-ups, and I've bought new tires for it. But you know, when I look back at all my spending, not once did I spend over $1,800 a year to keep that car running and looking good. That is only $150 a month, a lot less than a new car payment, isn't it? The point is, I think you too will be able to find some money that you can throw against your debt. When you're committed to getting out of debt, You should also use what I would call any extra money. This can be in the form of gifts, bonuses, raises, or perhaps a second business income.
You attack the smallest balance first. In this example, Sears, $950 balance, 12% interest, $50 per month payment, would take you 22 months to pay it off.
By adding only an additional $50 to the payment each month, you shorten that term down to 10 months. I recommend you stick this list on your fridge, and when that debt disappears, take a big red marker and mark through it, and then reward yourself. Go out to a nice dinner. You want to keep positive and enjoy this process. Now that that first payment's gone, what you do is add that $100 payment to the payment on the next size debt. In other words, in our example, Dr. Smith was at $75 a month. You kept paying that for the first 10 months while you were paying off Sears. But now that Sears is gone, you can take that $100 and add it to the $75, so you now have a $175 payment. Look what happens. It only takes 10 more months to pay off Dr. Smith. So instead of 35 months out from the start of the plan, you're only 20 months out. Continue in this manner on down your worksheet, adding the payment as it disappears against the payment of the next highest debt. Let's pause for a moment on the MasterCard. For this example, I used a typical card, $5,000 balance, a 2.5% minimum payment, or $10, whichever is greater, plus a $25 annual fee, all at a 14.99% interest rate. If you only make minimum payments, and several of you probably are very happy to only make minimum payments, but if you make the minimum payment on this card, it takes you 321 months to pay that off. That is 26 years and 9 months. And in that time, you would have spent a total of $10,969. If that interest rate should go up to 18%, it takes you 34 years and 7 months to pay it off, and you would have spent $14,086.49. Let's take an extreme example on the same card. If your interest rate is 24.99%, which is what they get to if you've had any credit trouble, it would take 120 years for the balance just to get down to $500. At the 100-year mark, your balance would still be $540, and you would have paid in $41,675.45 to the credit card company. Do you see why they encourage you to only make the minimum payments? It is like highway robbery. Now let's get back to our plan. As you continue to pay off the debt and add that payment to the payment on the next debt, you can see it greatly shortens the length of time that you'll be paying on the debts. As you get down to the car loan, you're now into the plan 40 months. The balance of the car loan at that time is now only $7,418.98. But now your payment jumps up to $681.72. It only takes 11 more months for you to pay off that car. So now you're 51 months into the plan and you attack your mortgage. The balance at that time has only come down to $105,794.67.
But your payment can go up to a whopping $1,520.78.
As you can see, that means you only have 92 months left on your mortgage, bringing the grand total for the whole plan to be completely debt-free to 143 months. So in less than 12 years, you're completely out of debt. All you've done was add $50 to your initial payment and then continue to dedicate all debt payments to the next higher debt until it was paid off. Even though it just took us less than 12 years to get out of debt, you may have noticed that not once during that entire time did we ever add any additional income. No gifts, no bonuses, no raises, no secondary income. In fact, all we did was add $50 to the initial payment and then dedicate all debt payments to just that, debt.
and never transferred it to another. If indeed you become committed to this type of plan, there are even other things you can do to help speed up this process. For example, you can trade your balance on a high interest rate credit card to a low interest rate credit card and pay less out. You can consolidate loans, combine them, but again, do not ever increase the balance. Do that only to reduce your payment and your interest rate. And finally, even refinance your home. And again, do not take any more out than you already have owed, but to do it to get a lower interest rate so that you can just pay things off even faster using all the debt payments that you've now saved. The biggest thing to remember now is that you need to avoid the temptation to break your new habit. For example, if you're considering a purchase that's going to require monthly payments, do this. Before actually making the purchase, determine what the monthly payment would be. And then, for 3 months, make that payment into a savings account. This accomplishes three things. First, it proves that your cash flow can handle the payment. Second, it may provide a down payment that you can put down on the purchase that will even lower your debt. And third, you may have so much fun putting the money into savings, you'll forget entirely about the purchase and keep the money. Remember, borrowing money may deny God the opportunity to show himself faithful. As Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory." I have now given you the tools and the processes that if you implement, you can enjoy a debt-free, stress-free life sooner than you ever imagined. I trust you have enjoyed my Dynamics of Debt presentation. May God bless your efforts to become debt-free.
Ooh, what a stud. So I hope you found that interesting and enlightening. I don't know if any of you have done the Ramsey course. I love his stuff. But you just got in 23 minutes what you can get in a week right there. And it's really the same principles. In fact, he's one that he used to tell people initially when he first came out to attack the higher interest rate first. But he has since changed his tune. Somebody finally did the math for him because I worked out for a couple of people because they had heard that. And your home mortgage and the higher rate or whatever it might, you're so long into that that you actually hinder your time frame. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. Some of the stuff has changed a little bit, but to make sense, I think, I'm hoping that kind of made sense to you on what to do. And again, not trying to rob any fun or anything. It's just making a decision to, because you'll end up having more fun. It's exactly what I did. I kind of went, as I kind of referred to Josh being young, I wanted to get all the way out of debt before he started college so we could help pay for college or whatever, which was, I think, 10 or 11 years out. So kind of went on this process. But I did use bonuses and raises and a lot of that. And we went from having bankruptcy papers filled out to having our first house or second house, and because we downsized and all that, to actually speed it all up. So we were totally out of debt in 8 years. So I actually had 2 years before he started college of being completely debt-free and then able to leverage that in. And if you kind of wonder why I don't give Josh even more nowadays, it's because he still has that same heart. It would go from him right into somebody else's pocket because he not for himself. He likes to bless other people and the missionaries. And we got to kind of keep him on a leash around here. But praise God that he just actually be able to do that and have that kind of heart for people. So if you go to page 17, I just want to get this in your thinking solidly. So this is the open book review test for you. So we talk about the scenario on the screen. Imagine you have a lifestyle where you overspend by just $20 a week. Every week, your credit card balance goes up by $20 because you've overspent. You made the million, includes the payment you've made, whatever, but you just keep adding to it. It'd be pretty easy to do that. Say you continue this overspending for a little less than 1 year, so for 50 weeks, give you those 2 weeks off. At the end of the first year, you're overspending, you'll have 20 times $50, or who knows what goes in the blank, $1,000, all right? Oh, we got the, somebody's got it. Good, okay? So, if you keep that up for 3 years, you now have the 3 times 1,000. How much are you in debt? $3,000. That's that blank. So now you make the decision, okay, and okay, that makes sense there, I guess, Elder Don, you know, we want to get out of debt. So you decide you really need to do that. That's a good decision. Since it took you 3 years to get in, we'll decide to give yourself 3 years to get out. Seems fair. Let's look at what it would take. Get out of debt plan year one. You've got to stop that overspending or cover it to either earn money or just stop. That's an effect to your lifestyle. Therefore, for 1 year, your get out of debt plan, just to stop the bleeding, you need an extra $1,000. Right? That's just a stop. So now you're breaking even. You're no longer going into debt. Great thing. Okay, step two, you have to pay the interest on the debt, assuming a 15%, which isn't too bad, on credit cards especially. To pay the interest that first year, you need 15% of that, so you need $450. That goes in that blank. Now you'll also need to reduce your lifestyle by that much or earn that again. That money's got to come from somewhere. Amen? All right, step three, now you need to actually start paying off the debt. Got to attack that. To get this done in 3 years, you'll need to pay off one-third of that, so it's $1,000 on step three. So again, you need to earn that extra money or reduce your lifestyle to have that. So the first year summary again, just to pay the interest, stop the overspending, and pay off a third of your debt, you need to come up with $2,450 by adding those three things together, okay? So everybody's got that math and understand that. And just a reminder, that's just the first year, doesn't include those tax considerations. You know, that's where the, and that's why it gets so hard. You think, okay, that doesn't sound too bad, but, you know, not too many people get 10% raises or make enough even to get a 5% raise to pay all those expenses and really make headway on their debt. And that's why it's so hard to get out. Sure is easy to hand it out, though, and go into debt, isn't it? So anyway, that's why, as I referred to our expense sheet and keeping track of that 3 months, that's one of the reasons, because as we see people do that and adjust their spending, they find money to be able to put against their debt, you know, but it has to be that commitment. You can't, you know, found money and say, oh boy, I can go have a big dinner or do something or go to Hawaii or whatever it might be. And all those things are good. And I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just be committed to using a good portion of your increase to pay off the debt. And it's incredible, even when I still watch it, that just adding $50 and not using any extra can have that kind of impact on your debt situation, you know? And, you know, to go from 27 years down to 12, and all they did was redirect $50 into that debt payoff plan. The power of money is pretty amazing. And that's what, you know, we talk about a lot, to make it work for you. Don't be working for it. That's the key. Because if you misspend it and get yourself into trouble, and as I said, I've been there. Message hasn't changed much in 35 years, has it? You know, you still say the same things that I've always said, you know, even back then, and that all these other financial gurus will tell you. It's just, and that's just the kind of multiplication power that money has and that saving has. And, and just to set yourself up to be in control and be on top of it. So, your homework, then, is kind of we alluded to on page 18. And then there's another worksheet in back. So one of these is kind of the worksheet. One's your final draft. Is to list your debts.
use that following that chart there as I showed on the screen from so the first one, just, you know, dig out a credit card, dig out your home mortgage deed, dig out your car, and just fill in. You know, the first page, just fill it in as you come across your debts and who you're paying, how much you're paying, what rate of interest rate you're paying, and, you know, and then the term, how many months. If you can't compute that, it doesn't really matter. A lot of time, you know, credit card laws have changed now. The minimum payment's actually gone up a little from there, and, you know, it's $50. But, you know, I just went over that with somebody, and it's same kind of result. You know, they had a $2,000 balance, and it was going to be $4,500 making the $50 a month payment on it. You know, take them, you know, 45 months instead of getting that down to 10 months, I think, just by putting a little bit extra on it. So the concepts are all the same. So anyway, just get them all listed. And so you know exactly what you're looking at and what you're dealing with. And then use the one that's, let's see, yeah, page 40. Then use that one to put them in order. Put the smallest one first. And then the balance, not the interest rate, you know, with the smallest balance, that second column, list them in order on your final worksheet, okay? And that's the one that you want to post on your fridge, or, you know, probably don't want the world to see it there, so put it on your bathroom mirror or something, but post it so you see it. And when you get that first one, you know, throw the extra $50 or even $20 that first month against that payment. I spoke to somebody last week, you know, they asked, well, which one should I pay? And they're kind of thinking the higher interest. But I said, no, you go after the small balance because you get that snowball. And as soon as you can take $20 or $50 or $150 out of one debt and add it to the next, that snowball is now getting bigger, going downhill, right, instead of pushing it uphill as that snowball gets bigger. Okay? So put that somewhere where you can keep track of it, you know, put a string with a red magic marker on it, and when you get it paid off, cross that sucker out, you know, and then you can see, oh boy, I got that one gone. Now let's go after number two. And you roll that payment into that second one. And all of a sudden, they start clicking off pretty quick, as you saw. Even, you know, you can get there just so quick if you just get committed to it and not add to it, which is where the freezing your lifestyle comes in, inflation and everything else kind of kicks its cut of that already anyway. So you just want to be cautious, but, you know, it's just such a freeing thing, you know, to just not have debt, to know you've got, you know, that loan payment you've got to make or that, you know, something that, it's stressful. And again, that's what causes most marriage communication problems and results in the most divorces, and it's just the stress level that can bring. And, you know, it's one thing I can say that we really had a peaceful home in that area, you know, in most areas, because it's so related to that. You know, you have control of it. It's not a worry. It's not something that, you know, that we're constantly fighting over. It's just something that God takes care of and blesses. And once you, and I truly believe that once you get on that and commit to it, God just blesses it. You know, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to and come up with a little plan and all of a sudden, oh, I forgot I was going to get this insurance payment next month of $750, you know. And I had a couple of those just last week, and I forgot that those payments were coming. Oh, that's cool, you know. And just to be able to use that initially, and I tell people, just even use half of it. Go out to dinner with half, or, you know, have a little party, or buy a loved one something. So enjoy the money, but use some good increase to get out from under this debt. The real key to it is getting it to snowball. And again, you know, $50 a month coming up, I mean, you know, for Josh, that's just getting rid of lattes, you know? I mean, so, but there's stuff like that. And anyway, I guess kind of broken record, but it's just so important to,
to be able to feel like you're on top of your finances instead of it controlling you. And I just see that, you know, it just downheartening, you know, it kind of, you get dispirited and, you know, and it's hard. And I get that. But just making good decisions and affecting future financial decisions because you're making good ones now, you know, is incredible. Just incredible. Okay? So, any questions about any of that? Anything that didn't make sense? Okay? I'm leaving you time to say whatever you want, Pastor. All right. Oh, next week, we'll get it and we'll go through it kind of some more and review some of this again. Because, again, we just really want to get it cemented into your thinking. And just talk about some examples and things we can do with that. So the debt attack plan is illustrated again in the next lesson, just to make sure you understand that. And then there's kind of even a section you can take out to read over, share with others. You know, if you got kids or relatives, I'm boring Jody, sorry Jody. You know, share this with them, you know, show them. You can show them the example, say, look, you know, kid, I know you got all this student debt, but look how you can get out of it quick. And just, you know, with the, I really like doing this for even high school kids or college kids to get them in their mind. They can understand that getting into debt thing, you know. And I've said over and over, and I've seen it in my CPA practice forever, you know, that all the men blame the ladies, you know, they're out buying a dress or, you know, doing this or what are you getting that for? But they'll go out on a weekend and buy a car or a motorcycle, you know, and they'll be a lot worse in one weekend than the ladies are in a year. I mean, that's just a true story. It's just, you know, and yet they catch flack for it. And, you know, it's so important to be a team with all, if you're in a relationship with somebody, to be a team and get on the same board of it. And if you listen to Ramsey at all, you know, it's always, he gets those people on there to shout, we're debt free, you know, but it's always, they've done it together, you know, and that, but, you know, that's not to say, you know, in a lot of ways it's easier being single. So it's just whatever, wherever you're at in life, it's just good for you to not have to worry about that stuff and get your retirement, you know, secure. Yeah, and even if you, maybe all you're on is Social Security, you know. But if you don't have any debt, that's living pretty good, you know. I can give you example after example. I had an aunt and uncle that had a great house, and we have, you know, birthdays up there and a great place to get together, big, nice yard. It was an older house, but, you know, it was a home, amen. Well, they get all their kids to their house, they got them married, and then they went out by the country club and bought this big house, sold that house, went into debt at the age of, you know, 62 years old when he retired from the school district, bought this big house. 2 years later, unfortunately, he gets Alzheimer's and you know, passes away. And my aunt then is stuck with nothing but this huge house debt. When they had it all set up, if they just done a little wiser planning. So I don't want to step on any nerves or hurt anybody's feelings, but it's just it's not being attached to that stuff, kind of like we talked about the Bible principle. Just not, you know, you just got to be ready to enable, hope you to walk away from it, whatever it is. And it's a lot easier to do if you don't owe money on it. That's for sure. Okay, I'll shut up. Pastor, you can wrap it up.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, I just want to say, everything he said is really works. It's amazing, worked in our lives, and we've had a front row seat to watching it work in other people's lives. And I just wanted to say just a thought that occurred to me, and then we'll dismiss a little early here. But so a lot of you ladies got to go up to my parents' home yesterday for the ladies' prayer retreat, and boy, what a blessing. I heard such good testimonies about that. But they have a really nice home. And it's a blessing to be able to have the church people over there. It's a huge blessing for us. The swimming therapy is just incredible for Evangeline. Is able to go down there and swim, you know, for at least 4 days a week, you know, sometimes more than that. And so they've got a nice place, but what you maybe don't know is that I've watched my parents downsize twice, and not out of necessity, but to get out of debt. And I remember the first time we were pretty young, and it was sort of an odd thing. We had a nice house in Viridale, and they sold that place, and we moved into a house that wasn't half the size, but it was smaller. And we moved in there, and for us kids, I mean, it was just an adventure. We didn't care. I mean, it had a little bit of property, and my sister got a pony, and I got a pig, you know, so it was fine. You know, we weren't suffering, you know, we weren't suffering too bad. But we lived there for a couple of years while my dad got, you know, completely out of debt, and then they moved even further out into the country, got a taste for country living, or my mom did anyway. And so that was sort of the story. And then my parents did that again, in fact. And that was kind of around the time that the Lord was calling me into the pastorate. And I heard some shock and dismay over the small salary that I get paid here. But one of the reasons we're able to live on that is because when I got called into the ministry, my parents downsized. They moved out of their nice big house into just like a small apartment, just a few hundred square feet even, so that Heather and I could live in their house so that we wouldn't have a mortgage payment, so that we could afford to live on a pastor's salary. And so, you know, one of the reasons I was able to go into the ministry full time was because my parents, you know, had saved and done things wisely and were willing to, and just like had a nice house, but weren't so attached to it that they weren't willing to downsize into something a lot smaller. And same thing, I mean, it was nice. I mean, if you went into their place, it was nice, but it was just small, you know. And my mom had a great attitude. She was like, oh, it only takes 10 minutes to clean, you know. But it was tiny, and they did that. But just as God's done that, you know, God's just blessed them, because then that house that they're in now, I mean, it was on the market for 10 years. Well, my story's better. It was less than that. But they just kind of kept dropping the price, but because they weren't in debt and just kind of had resources available, they were able to get a good deal and do that. And so it's just, I mean, I'm just telling, I just wanted to give you that testimony of, you know, don't think, oh, you know, Don, it's easy when you're, you know, a well-off guy to get up here and say this. Because my dad, same thing, you know, he did have the bankruptcy paperwork filled out at one point, didn't know how they were going to do all that, and have downsized repeatedly and really actually put these principles into practice. And God just blesses it when you do that. And I'm a beneficiary of that. And if your pastor's ever been a blessing to you, then you're the beneficiary of my parents doing that, because otherwise I would not be able, you know, I'd still have to work a job part-time. So, we're still early, even after that. All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, God, for today. We thank you for the principles you've given us in your word to help us get out from under the trap of just these heavy debts, Lord, so that we can be in a position to just serve you with our whole hearts and be a blessing to other people that you put in our path. God, would you just help us to walk with you in every area of our lives, but Lord, just particularly that we might walk with you in the area of our finances. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.